All right. Thank you again for being here this morning. We're going to look at Philippians. You know, in as we look around us, it's not to beat a dead horse. We all would understand that what's going on in our world is not good. How many of you understand that? And but if I didn't know Christ, it would really bother me. If I wasn't saved and I wasn't a child of God and I didn't know the end of the book, I'd be discouraged. I'd be down. I'd be depressed, suicidal, you name it. Financial situations are tough, and I understand that. Political upheaval is everywhere, and morality is just off the train tracks. The stuff going on, if you don't know it, it's bad. But we have something better. I'm glad I don't live for this world. I'm glad that there is something better. What is there for those who think strictly in terms of this world and don't think of things from a perspective of God? What do they have to look forward to? They have these, there's an atheist, his name is Stephen Hawking. He's called an angry atheist. Here's what he said. He said, I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. There is no heaven or afterlife for broken computers. That is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. That sounds like somebody who's depressed. Our good buddy Sigmund Freud said, the intention that man should be happy is not in the plan of creation. By the way, these are the kind of people we follow in life. These are the kind of people that are leading the way in our school systems and in our government. And yet, there is something better. Compare that to somebody who understood life in the perspective of God. Charles Spurgeon, he said, there is so much misery in this world that none of us ought to add to it. Let us, on the contrary, seek to increase happiness and joy wherever we can. The point is this: how we look at this world, how we see things, the joy that we have in our life is all dependent upon our perspective. How do we see the world? If we see the world through the eyes of this is all there is, there's no meaning, there's no purpose, well, of course we're going to think like that. But if we're saved and we know the God of heaven and we understand how things work, things are a lot better. No matter how bad things are, we have something better to look forward to. Our thoughts and what we think about life greatly determines our views on life, and it affects our joy. That's what we're going to see. Philippians is a book that deals with having joy. Because we understand the difficulties that we face in life, sometimes as Christians, we even have a trouble with that. We think that it's unspiritual to think that God would want us to have joy. Well, then why did he tell us to? We saw in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, I understand the difference between happiness and joy, but you can call it whatever you want. But you ever hear the phrase, God's more concerned with your holiness than he is with your happiness? How many of you ever heard that? There's a flaw in that philosophy, though. That's assuming that both they're mutually exclusive. In other words, you can't have one or the other. By the way, isn't that what Satan throws at us? If you serve God, you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life. Really? Look at people who aren't serving God and tell me how that's working out. It's not how it works. I think the most joyful people in the world are those who love God and who serve God and understand what his word says. That doesn't mean things are perfect. That doesn't mean we don't go through problems. But it does mean we have an eternal perspective on things and we have a God who is with us all the time. Paul is teaching us that we can be joyful at all times. I know we're going to have difficulties. I know we're going to have bad circumstances. By the way, you have those whether or not you're saved. Just the thing is, if we're saved and we know God, we have someone to go through it with us. And we know that it has a purpose. Why? Because our joy is related in our relationship with God, and it's not dependent on what happens in this world. In verse 4, he tells us to rejoice always. And then he tells us that we are not to worry about anything. By the way, if you worry, you can't rejoice. Well, how do I continue to have joy and not worry when things are going off the rail? Well, we're told to pray and be thankful. Ask God to help us in the areas where we can't, and let's be thankful for the things that God is doing in our lives. Now, how can we be joyful, though? How can we? Where does it all begin? In 1826, a French philosopher came up with this phrase. We've all heard it, right? Tell me what you eat, and I'll tell you what you are. My question is, what are you going to be for lunch, right? Well, you know what? Let's flip that and put a spiritual spin on it. Tell me what you think, and I'll tell you what you are. Our thoughts are very important. We understand in Romans, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Don't be like the world and everything that it does. Be completely different. But how we do that? By the renewing of your mind. That's a spiritual principle. To put it simply, really, in a sense, and maybe I'm oversimplifying it. If I am, forgive me. But you are what you think. You are what's in your mind. That is why, look, the imaginations of man and the wicked thinking is one of the reasons why God destroyed this earth in the first place, the flood. And the rainbow doesn't mean God's happy with an abhorrent lifestyle, by the way. It means God, it's a picture of God's grace and mercy, and we've polluted it, and we've turned it into something it is not, but that is a message for another day. I believe if we look at verse 8 and 9, he tells us where joy begins. How can we really make sure we have joy? And it is related to the mind. So let me give you a couple thoughts in the few minutes we have. How can we have joy? Where does this joy come from? Bad English there. It comes from, first of all, that which fortifies the mind. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what's the last phrase? Think on these things. He gives us a list of things that we should think about after telling us not to worry. Where does worry come from? Right here, mind. It's fear, I get that. Why do we worry? We get something in our mind and we meditate and we marinate on it, and no wonder we're worrying. By the way, most of the things people worry about don't happen anyhow. So why bother with it? And by the way, most of the things you worry about, they're out of your control, so if they're gonna happen, they're gonna happen anyway, so why worry about it? But he says, here's the things you should put in your mind. Think upon these things. Consider them. Take them into account. Meditate on them. We are to be proactive about what we think about. It's very important. He gives us these qualities. And he tells, I like 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And he says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Like in a war, you get the enemy and you're going to put them into captivity and put a container on them and get them out of the way. He says, we're supposed to bring every thought that comes in our mind into captivity and make it obedient to Christ. We have to watch what we think about. Our mind is constituted in such a way that we really only think about one thing at a time. And I know you ladies are mono-minded. I get it. You can be on the phone, feed the baby, and make dinner at the same time. Okay, I get it. But really, what focuses and occupies us, really, it's one thing. And we put things in our mind, and it starts to take over. So if we're thinking of something good, we're going to be able to not think about something that's bad. But if we're thinking about something that's bad, we're going to have a hard time thinking about something that is good. We should shut out the bad thoughts, and we should seek out the good thoughts. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them. I'll mention them briefly. But he tells us the type of things that we should think about, things that we ought to let get into our mind. He says, and whatsoever things are true. True means they're good in character. There's genuine, and they are genuine and sincere. By the way, let me just say this. We let so much garbage and so many lies come into our mind, and we don't watch what we're allowing in. Just because somebody says something on the internet doesn't make it true. And just because somebody says something on your news station doesn't make it true. And by the way, the stuff you allow to entertain you, just because they say things, it isn't true. But we let this stuff in. We don't want to guard ourselves. By the way, truth is found in the Bible. And the reason a lot of us fall for that which is false, because we have no clue what is in this book. You say, well, Pastor, that's your responsibility. Okay, partially. I'm supposed to preach the truth. I get it. But that's your responsibility. What we're doing here is supposed to supplement and energize what you're reading in the Bible yourselves. Got to get the truth. I don't like being lied to. Back in the early days of the church, we were really a young church. We were a teenage church. We had hundreds of them. And we had a lot of them that were trouble, good kids. They were struggling, and they had some home issues. And so when our kids were little, we would take some of them in and let them live with us for a while. And I had one major rule with them. I said, look, as long as you're toeing the line, we'll help you here, get you into school and all those things. I said, but don't ever lie to me. Like, if you lie to me, you're out immediately. I remember those two girls, they were staying there for a while during the summer. My wife was working on them, and they did something. I'm like, all right. So I pulled one in, and the one I knew would tell the truth. Like, she goes, yep, we did that. All right, thanks. I pulled the other one in, and like, so did you guys do that? No, we didn't do it. Like, okay, like, seriously? And I gave some evidence. Like, no, we didn't do it. And I always loved this part of the job, the teenagers. I'm like, well, I just talked to so-and-so. And then you see their face drop. I'm like, she told me this. It's like, I was like, yeah, you lied to me. And she packed her bags that day, okay. I don't like being lied to. But if I know the truth, you know what happens? I know when there's a lie. So we need the truth. He says, what about whatsoever things are honest, honorable, respectful? Why is it that we like the crude things of life? By the way, some of the stuff you let your kids watch, there's a lot of crude nonsense on there. You might want to be careful about that. Honesty is really more than being truthful. It's something truthful that is worthy of report. It demands respect. Our society is so far from that. He says, whatsoever things are just. That means righteous, upright. How many just things are going on in our world? Not a lot. In fact, there's a lot of garbage going on. And by the way, the standard of what is just is not something we make up ourselves. The standard of what is just is, what does God say is just? Standard's God's. Our society has no clue. You can do something that's horrific, break the law, and if you're on one side of the political scale, they let you get away with some things. By the way, we ought to hold some of our judges accountable for the people they let go. That which is pure. Whatsoever things are pure. Purity means you avoid that which is dirty. You clean. You want to live and think about that which is clean. By the way, man, you ought to have clear thoughts, pure thoughts. And I'll just say this. You cannot have pure thoughts if you're sneaking around on the internet. You didn't ask for that, but it's okay. It was bonus. And you say, well, how do I make sure I do that? Let me ask you a question. Does your wife have the code to your phone? Can your wife take your cell phone at any time and look it over? I'm a man. Don't treat me like a kid. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. What do you got to hide? Okay, you got nothing. If you got nothing to hide, what's the big? You know, you got your computer right there, and you sign in, and no one else has your code. What are you hiding? You say, that's right. I have the code to my children's phone. They shouldn't have a phone. That's a message for another day. That was free. But you got to be very careful, because once you see something, you can't unsee it. Once you look, you can look, I love all of you. I'm sure you're all doing great. But you're not going to come into church and like church if you've been looking at stuff, and not even pornography. If you've been letting all kinds of filth and garbage in your mind, I'm just going to be honest with you. I can't compete with that. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. And I get it. It is so hard. It's everywhere in our society. You have to watch when you're out in public and the way the ladies dress, and help us right there, sisters. But and the billboards and all the things, I get it. They just push this stuff on you like, what? That's just normal. It's not normal. Purity is mocked. Immorality is rampant. Just, what about the music you listen to? What is it glorifying? Oh, it's a love song. No, it's a lust song. Be very careful. No, I just listen to it for the music. Then how come you sing the words? And why is it when we teach our children their ABCs, we use music? And I get it, Cocomelon. Right? I remember our last, Emily, when she was not even two, she knew her ABCs. Why? Because she was smart? No. You know, she had a little toy with the ABC song. And we'd listen to it over and over and over and over. Don't tell me your music is just entertainment. Okay, that didn't go over well. Let's move on. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. That which is lovely, whatsoever things are lovely, acceptable, pleasing, orderly. By the way, do you know there are some things that are right, but if they're wrong, if they're taken out of order? Immorality. That's okay if it's within the confines of marriage. But if it's outside the confines of marriage, it's hurtful. God didn't design it for that. But we need things that are acceptable and pleasing. That which is of good report, sounding well, highly regarded. We don't like, by the way, we don't like good reports, right? We want to hear the juice. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? No, but maybe if you tell me, I can pray for them. Okay. I'm like you. I want to hear the bad stuff. Well, you know, we had 12 good things happen. I know, but tell me about the one bad thing that went on. Did you hear? And look, you say that to me, and pray for me, I'm not there yet. You say that to me, my ears perk up. Did you hear about, like what? Okay. I'll get saved later, pray for me. I get it. But you know, we don't do what we do because the flesh likes it, we do what we do because it's the right thing to do. And have you ever realized, let me just throw this out, it has nothing to do with it. Sometimes people tell you things, do you know you're not getting the whole side of the story? Well, you know, did you hear blah, 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 blah? How do you know? Did you talk to the other person? Did you give them that respect? Anyhow, if someone tries to do that, say, hey, did you hear about so-and-so did this? Like, I don't know, let's go talk to them about it. Yeah. That which is virtuous, if there be any virtue, moral goodness, excellent modesty, virtue. By the way, even our television shows used to teach this stuff. You ever watch Andy Griffith? I mean, he smoked, okay? That was probably a problem. But they were teaching lessons. They would go to jail today. You know, kid's here being bad, and he's telling the dad, hey, I got a stick in the back. Take him out by the woodshed. Oh, horrible. I guess it didn't work for Opie because he's a flaming liberal, but anyhow. But the shows used to have a moral point to it. Now there's no moral point. Now it's an immoral point. Virtue. We like filth. And then lastly, this point, that which is praiseworthy. If there be any praise. Praise just means worthy of commendation. Something that's good. By the way, I like good reports. Yeah. Amen. Good things that are happening. By the way, good things are happening. Yeah. I don't do a lot of social media. I like Twitter. And I'm careful what I follow. Okay? You know, after the whole election drama, I'm like, I cut it all out. I didn't just cut it. I like killed it. Like, I don't need that drama. Now, I got back on, but I like to hear what other churches are doing. I like to hear other good things that are happening. Now, yeah, I have a little bit of news, just enough to keep my blood pressure going. Okay? But I like to hear good things. Hey, we had a great day in church. Or this happened. Or this person got saved. Or that. I like that. I like that praiseworthy stuff. Yeah. I hope you do too. So we have to be careful. That which fortifies the mind. And then he says, that which fuels the mind. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Now he tells us where we can get some of these things. He mentions four areas here. He says, first of all, we get it by learning, by teaching. Now let me sacrifice a God real quick. We live at a time where everybody wants to, we're sacrificing everything, and I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong. Let me finish talking. Education is on the altar. That's, everything's about education. Can I just tell you something? Nonsense. Well, that really went over well. It's not education. It's what are you being educated in.
There you go.
I'm not against learning. I'm not against education. But what are you being taught? I mentioned before, and I'm not, I think a lot of you, some of you newer ones in here that have children, you ought to go talk to Brother Chim about our school. I do pay enough attention to some of the things going on in our school system, and because you probably are watching the wrong news channels, you're not seeing any of it, you ought to be afraid. I remember when Brother Pineda lived in our home. It was horrible. No. And I think it was Brother Pineda's senior year. And I think his senior year may have been Stephen's first year in kindergarten. It was something like that. And we were out doing something at the end of the summer, and the three of us stopped to get something to eat at a Del Taco over there. It's gone now. They tore it down. And we were sitting there, and we were talking about school, you know, Stephen's first year in kindergarten, and Brother Pineda talking about, you know, getting ready for school. And there was this old gentleman next to us here. And he heard us talking. He goes, oh, you're talking about, what school are you talking about? And we're like, oh, you know, Pacific Christian School, blah, 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 blah. And this older guy, and that's probably 25 years ago, this old gentleman, not a Christian, said to me, he goes, if I had children nowadays, I would work two jobs if I had to put them in a private school.
There you go. Amen.
Things have not gotten better.
No.
It's just, there's so much out there. What are they learning? Okay, it's one thing, our schools used to teach you math. Now our teachers are teaching you garbage. They're teaching you change your gender. They're changing you who to, and by the way, they're starting with our kindergartners. And maybe you ought to pull your head out of the sand. I am going to get upset. Maybe you ought to pull your head out of the sand. They're having drag queen shows in our public schools. And not in the high schools, in the grade schools. Taco Bell is doing it. What a good reason to quit eating that garbage, okay? Man, that's the best reason to get healthy. That's what the children are being taught. By the way, the stuff the stuff they're teaching your children in school, if we taught that in our Sunday school, you wouldn't put them in our Sunday school classes. But they're going there. And I know it's hard. And maybe we can work something, but I'm just saying, it's not just learning, it's what are you learning? You understand the difference? I'm all for it. Reading, writing, arithmetic. The kids graduating from our public schools, our government-run schools, can't do any of them.
Yeah, that's right.
They can't. And listen, I went to school many years ago. I learned, the whole time I was in high school, I had one textbook. I went by the locker they gave me the first year. I opened the locker up. I threw the textbook in, and I never touched it again. And if it wasn't for a few things towards the end, I probably would have graduated. I didn't graduate because I didn't pass the classes. I didn't graduate because I wasn't going to the classes. And I did zero studying. I had a driver's ed teacher telling us he'd get us drugs and alcohol to help us pass our driving test. That's 10 years ago. Thank you. 10 years times a few. I'm just saying, let's be careful. Let's make sure our kids are learning the right thing. And then he says, by learning and by receiving. See, when we are learning the right things, we got to receive it. We got to receive it. Like anytime we read something in the Bible, if it's true, got to receive it. And by listening, the things you have received and heard. By the way, that's paying attention. If you're married, you know how this works. You've talked to your spouse, and it's like, what'd you say? How many been there? Right? It's like, hey, we're supposed to be going here today. Well, you didn't tell me anything about it. I've only told you every day for the last month. Yeah, but that doesn't count. You spoke, but I didn't hear you. Okay, we've all been there. So I've never had that. You can get married. You'll figure that out. And then by observing, he says, and seeing in me. He goes, I've tried to follow this pattern. By the way, one thing that's good about being a part of church with encouraging Christians, you kind of get the pattern of how to serve God and how to work. Man, as a new Christian born in a church, I was clueless. And I'd look to some of the older like, that's how a Christian acts in that situation. That's how a Christian's supposed to be. And then he says, lastly, that which follows the mind. He said, and heard, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He says, do it. Results in action. It's not just enough to know what God says we're supposed to do. It's not just enough for any of that stuff. We have to actually put it into practice. We have to actually do what it says. Seek to be obedient. And what is the result? Peace. Joy always brings peace. It does. Now, I know there's times when things can get stressful. I understand that. But the closer we are to God, the more we can handle those things. And by the way, peace doesn't mean everything around me is good, right? I've told the story, like we're gonna pick out the best description of peace in a painting. And all these people, you know, a cotton field, a nice blowing wind, and all this stuff and all that, everything's perfect. And the one that won was a storm and a cliff by the ocean. There was a storm going on, but in the cliff was a little cutout, and there was a bird resting peacefully during the storm. Because peace has nothing to do with what's going on around us. It has everything to do with what's going on inside of us. So what's the point? It starts in the mind. That's where it begins. What are we allowing in our mind? And look, everywhere we go, we're bombarded. But you know what? If we fill our minds with the Word of God and we're committed to it, we can have joy when others are struggling. We can get through those difficult times in life when it seems like there's no answers, but it's like, you know what? I've read the answer. Now, I'm struggling to see it happen in my life, but I know it's there, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to do it. But it's not going to happen if we're allowing that in our mind. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a second. Thank you for listening. I went a little fast. That we got a little bit of a late start. The point is this. We can have joy at all times. Because joy is not dependent upon what's going on around us. It depends on the relationship we have with God inside us, which we gotta control what we're allowing in. You see, you can control what you allow in your mind. You cannot control how what you allow in your mind affects you. If you allow negative things, then negativity is gonna come out. I remember years ago, there was a couple, and they wanted They wanted some counsel. This was many years ago. And we were talking in the office and things were going good, well, and something came up and this guy just went off. And I mean, cussing. He sounded like a rapper. I'm like, man, what are you listening to? Where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from everything he was allowing in his mind. What are we allowing in our mind? Are we allowing the things that lead to joy? Are we allowing the things that negate joy? Are we allowing the things that push us towards a relationship with God? Or are we allowing things that pull us away from our relationship with God? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with God. And what I mean by that is you're not a Christian. You're not for sure you're a Christian. You're not 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You have some doubt. With nobody looking around, let me ask you this. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure? Do you go to heaven or do you have some doubt? If you say, Pastor, you know, that's me. I'm not 100% sure, and I do have some doubt, but that's something I would like to know. Pastor, with nobody looking around, Pastor, would you pray for me about that? If that's you, just raise your hand until I see it. Put it down. No one looking around. Anybody at all? Let's stand together. The piano is going to play this morning. If God spoke to you about anything, that's what this altar's for. By the way, it's a constant fight, isn't it? Andy Griffin, well, it may be on. It's a rerun. Those type of shows don't exist anymore. The news isn't looking to share good things. The news is looking for garbage. People that don't know the Lord, they look at this world and they look at it negatively. And by the way, I understand that. They don't know Jesus. But boy, we can have a better perspective. So piano plays, why don't you come? Why don't you come?